Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, it is going down. I'm yelling timber. How's it going?
I'm so excited. The playoffs are going to be so awesome. I'm also kind of sad that the year's over, though.
Or maybe it's just beginning.
Maybe it's dramatic music.
Maybe it's just beginning. I am psyched for these playoffs.
It's going to be amazing. We're so excited. We're going to have full previews for you. I'm doing threat rankings. I'm doing 50 things to watch like I did in the preseason. I'm doing gambling previews. I'm not sleeping for the next 48 hours. I've got a 12-pack of Red Bull. Don't tell my wife. It's going to be amazing.
Well, the good thing is there are no games today and tomorrow, so you don't need to sleep.
I don't need to sleep, and all I'm doing is rewatching every regular season matchup of these teams and their matchup in the playoffs. I started with Warriors Pelicans this morning. I'm wrapping up the Warriors first thumping of the Pelicans to get this one out the way before I move on to Rockets Mavericks.
Ooh, that's a lot of games. That's a lot of basketball.
But before we talk about what's going to happen and all the things that we're obviously going to be right on and nail every single prediction that we have.
Oh, definitely.
We should talk about what we got wrong.
Sure.
And how we're completely unqualified.
If you're wondering why this podcast is 4.5 hours, it's because we're talking about what we got wrong today.
So we're going to look back at the NBA regular season today and do an over-unders review of how we did and the teams and just kind of look at look back on what, to me, this is my favorite NBA season I've ever covered, whether professionally or just as a blogger. Really one of the best I can remember in terms of my entire life. I don't remember one being this fun.
Yeah, just like the individual performances, the team performances. Like we're kind of spoiled right now. This has been some good basketball. I'm sad that, you know, we didn't get to see Kobe this year. I'm sad that we don't get to see more Russ. I'm sad that we didn't get to see much of Kevin Durant. But other than that, it was a pretty good year.
Yeah, it's been weird because everyone's like, what are you talking about? There are all these injuries. I'm like, man, there's injuries every year. This is like, it's professional sports. This is what happens. And yeah. I feel really bad for them because those guys are in pain, but this happens. And guys get in. Jordan missed a year with a foot injury. Yeah. Like, it happens. It doesn't mean that the overall games were fantastic. And really, to me, the overall team quality, because I look at the teams at the bottom of the lottery, and outside of New York and LA, I'm like, you know what? I liked watching the Wolves as long as I didn't pay attention. I liked watching. I liked watching the Sixers actually quite a bit, even when I did pay attention. The Kings weren't great, but they also weren't that bad. And then, like, every team above that, even in the East, I really found myself finding them compelling on a night-to-night basis as a real fan of the league.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Knicks were a joke. The Lakers were a joke. The Timberwolves became a joke. But it was, for the most part, like, I know we over-scrutinized the Sixers and everything early on, but that, like, you could see a real coaching job. You could see, like, real talent with the Magic. You could see a change with the Pistons, what, you know, even though it didn't come through on wins. Like, I don't know. There was just a lot. And then, like, you look at someone like the Jazz in the East, or the Jazz in the West, and, you know, they were really compelling the last 2 months of the season. Like, we just saw a lot of good basketball.
It did. How you want to go in the order of the worst teams to the best?
Let's do it. That works.
So what we're doing is we're going over the over-unders for these teams, and we're going from the teams that failed the worst versus their over-under to the best. Surprise, Atlanta is – spoiler alert, Atlanta was the best versus their spread, which we told you in the preseason
lock
to get
it up.
On that.
Yep.
And so that one we're going to claim, but let's go back and look at them. We all took, all three of us, you, me, and James, we all took the under on New York at 40.5.
Yeah.
And I took them at 31, you took them at 33, James was really down on them at 29, and they went under all of that.
40.5.
Yeah.
Man.
Anywhere near 500.
No.
Nowhere near 500. 17 wins for the New York Knicks.
You could have doubled their wins, they would have missed it by like 6.5 games.
And they managed to screw themselves out the number one pick in the lottery.
Possibly. We don't know yet. We don't know if the frozen envelopes are coming yet.
Number one pick in the lottery, at least. They're not. They're on the top spot in the lottery.
Right.
The Charlotte Hornets. I may have overestimated them a little bit.
Well, all right. They had injuries. You know, Kemba missed, a month?
Yeah.
Al missed time. they still weren't. I mean, Lance Stephenson was a disaster for them. Congrats on setting the record for worst 3-point shooting in a season, Lance. You earned it. But yeah, this was one where, look, we took the over. I had 46, James had 46, you had 47. They wouldn't have hit that had they not gone through those injuries, but I don't think they would have been that far off.
Yeah, they weren't as bad, but they fall 12 and a half games short of their over-under. Hmm. And yeah, I'm hoping they don't get rid of Steve Clifford because I really like him as a coach, but it's clear that they need to make some changes. And I think Clifford needs to do a better job on the offense. Like, they've got to figure out a better formula offensively because they just struggled way too much. And you know, to your credit, like, I think a lot of that comes down to Kemba Walker's inefficiency. Without a better point guard, without a better key wing player in terms of his efficiency, I think it's going to be tough for them to make a major jump.
Yeah, I think for me it was just, and I thought Lance would be a positive influence on them, my God, but Kemba really does need help on the wing. He can't do it all, and that's not a knock on him. It's just like, this is a tough league to do it all in, and he's just not efficient enough, and then you get into just overshooting and bad shooting because of it, and you know, if he got help on the wing that really opened things up for him, I think he'd be a lot better.
With Oklahoma City, did you and James know something and not tell me? You guys both took the under, and I saw that, and I was like, they took the under on OKC at 57.5?
Well, we knew Durant was missing time, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that's what it was. I think it was just like, if they're healthy, I'll take the over.
And I was like, he's going to be fine, they're going to be fine, right? Win. And then the opposite happened. Not their year.
Which is odd, because usually I'm the one that's like, injuries, whatever. And you're the one that's like, oh my God, we gotta sound the church bells. There's an injury.
Exactly.
Player.
Everyone, get to the shelter. He's got a sore knee. Yeah. So I missed badly. I had him at 58. You guys had him at 53 and 54, respectively. You hit that one.
Yeah, hit the under, but not enough.
And again, we all thought Denver would be better than they were.
Yeah, I think we just didn't know how toxic the Brian Shaw situation was, right?
Yeah, that was a learning experience. That if we had done over-under predictions on the second day of the season, I would have been hammering the under. Hammering! Preseason, they were really optimistic, though, and they all seemed to be in a really good mood. The guys worked out over the summer there in Denver for the first time in the last couple of years. Like, they were really into it. And then something happened the week before the season opened, and Aaron Aflalo, I remember the day before the first game, I interviewed him, and he just looked like, I want to be anywhere else but here.
Well, wasn't it, too, that like they won 36 games last year but had all these injuries?
Yeah.
So I don't think it was crazy to think, like, this team should be better.
That was what they sold. The front office sold that. I wasn't necessarily buying that. My whole thing was, I was just like, look, the roster is so good. If they can just make a few adjustments, they should be able to win 46 games.
Right.
And no, it turns out they will win substantially fewer.
Didn't quite make it.
We all took the Lakers under. Let's all, round of handshakes for us.
Yeah, we did
31
it.
31.5 was that over under.
We were served a crap sandwich and we recognized that it was grade A crap.
Yep. 31.5, that seems crazy right now. Although I picked him for 28 and you picked him for 29.
Yeah, I still can't believe I had him that high.
You know, we talked ourselves into it because it was like, well, they've got NBA players on this roster. And it turns out, well, the loose definition.
I think I thought, I mean, maybe if Kobe's healthy, they get four.
I mean,
Kobe's,
yeah, Kobe's probably good for like another like three wins. So I guess it's not crazy.
Yeah, so maybe that wasn't that far off, but still not close.
We all took the Wolves under, and that wound up okay.
I can't believe I guess I thought they would be healthy, and that really killed me. But I was under by a half game, but hey, I was still under.
Yeah, snuck under that one. Miami burned us all. We thought Miami was going to be good.
Yep, that Chris Bosh blood clot, the Dwayne Wade hamstring injuries.
Well, they were really inconsistent throughout the year. Everyone's talking about the injuries definitely impacted their ability to make a late run. But I remember with Wade being frustrated with their inconsistency throughout the season. Like, they would just have these losses that were just like, what?
Yeah, well, they also, I mean, they weren't that deep. And so the McRoberts injury really screwed them. You can laugh. You can look at that and laugh, but
it was big.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very good team player, and they were counting on him. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, let's see if we can get Udonis Haslem to hit some corner threes.
How did you guys know the Bulls were going to go under? You picked them under by a game and a half.
I just didn't trust that Rose would be healthy.
Okay.
I think that's what it was.
Again, we're in Bizarro World.
Right.
Where I picked them for 60 wins. I thought they were going to murder everyone. I thought they were going to... This is, you know what's funny? I picked the Nets last year under the same premise where I was like, they're just going to tear through everyone. Nope. Then with the Bulls, like, they're just going to... I got to settle down on whoever it is I think is a hot East team. Distribute those wins elsewhere. Yeah, I was optimistic in this Bulls. And actually, you know, look at the playoffs. I'm still kind of keeping my eye on them. Like,
well, you like their chances, right?
I've hammered them for not having an extra gear, but I look at their matchups and I'm like, their biggest concern is going to be the Cavs in round two, which is obviously a big one, but if they're going to find an extra gear, they're going to find it against LeBron. This is the one team that, right now, they're the team that hates LeBron more than any other. With Indiana out, nobody hates LeBron more than the Bulls.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later. So, Cleveland, we all took the under. And that wound up right. And that one I'm very proud of. I was very confident that they were going to be under. Although you took them only for 53 wins, which kudos to you.
I nailed that.
Yeah. Hit that one right
on the head. I mean, I was pretty confident in that pick at the exact number of 53, so I feel great about that.
This one wasn't hard. Vegas had that number way too high at 58.5, and it was just like, look, new team, lots of uncertainty.
Yeah.
You don't know how the defense is going to be. We don't know how Blatt's going to be. And then really it wound up being... You know, it worked out perfectly because it's like they still were a very power team, but they just sucked for 2 months, and that was enough to get the under.
If you well, all right, the name will throw you off, but I wonder if you knew they were going to get Mozgov, J.R. Smith, and Iman Shumpert halfway through the season, would you have gone over?
Over, well,
because I mean, it's J.R. Like,
well, no, it's to me, it's Mozgov would have swung me the biggest because I was like, I don't know about their rim protection.
Yeah, but I think J.R. would have swung you back.
No. Yeah, probably. Probably accurate. By the way, do we have a forecast on the nightlife in Boston? We need to talk to somebody and find out what the clubs are in
Boston. I mean, he's not a townie. Or is he? Oh, my God.
He's hanging out in like a dive bar in Southie.
Townie J.R. Smith could be a movie franchise right there.
He's like hanging out in a dive bar in Southie wearing a trucker hat. Listen to Merle Haggard.
Oh, God.
Okay, Detroit, we believed in SVG, and we're wrong.
Yeah.
Although they finished with 32, only 4.5 short.
Yeah, a little too much turmoil.
Yeah, a little too much, and a little too much injuries. If Brandon Jennings doesn't go down, I think they might have hit it.
I mean, maybe that was just a surge, and that would have, you know, leveled off enough to keep them under, but he really was playing incredible basketball after Josh Smith left.
We all took the under on Brooklyn. Ding, 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 ding.
Shocker.
41.5 for Brooklyn was insane.
Yeah.
I don't know where Vegas got that number from. Orlando, we all took the under. Again, Wise. Let's see, it was 1-5.
Whoa, I've nailed three on the money here.
But you have
Cleveland, Brooklyn, and Orlando.
You and James were very good. I was not, but you guys were very good. You guys wound up being very accurate on these things.
And then let's go to Phoenix.
Yep, we all took the over. How much? I'm just surprised I took the over. Oh, because it was only 42.5.
Yeah,
like, imagine them finishing.
I was quite high on them. Yeah. 48 wins, and they
what
just,
sucks is
just
without the trades, we probably hit the over.
Yeah, probably.
Like three more wins, four more wins.
Yeah, Dragic could have gotten them to three more.
Yeah, we probably could have hit the over.
Yeah.
The Wizards, we all took the under, and I felt very good about it. I was hammered. I was like, they haven't won 50 games since the 70s.
Randy Whitman's not coaching a 50-win team. Are you kidding me?
I'm so excited for us to talk about Raptors-Wizards. I'm so excited about it because it's like the team that you just have, like, steadfastly, like, I cannot believe in a team that employs Randy Whitman. And it's me being like, I cannot believe in a team that has this f***ing roster. So. The Sacramento Kings, we all took the under. Your annual just take the Kings under bet.
Oh, my God.
So sad. James somehow took the under on the San Antonio Spurs and hit it.
Oh, he nailed it, too.
Yep.
Right at 55 wins. What a jerk.
I know. I am for 62. I was like, oh, they're a machine. Nope.
Well, I mean, all right. Kawhi missed 17 games in the first half of the season. Splitter missed some time.
They also just really struggled. It took them a while to find their groove.
Yeah. They found it, though.
I mean, really what this should tell you is that San Antonio will do anything to screw me, whatever they have to do. Like, you're going to miss on the over-under, and you're going to have to come to my snake-ridden, varmint-ridden, no-air-conditioning pit of an arena in June.
I liked the arena. I only spent the one game there.
Are you a big Jumanji fan?
Actually, I love that movie.
I watched it again the other day. It surprisingly holds up.
Yeah, it's not that bad, and the CGI isn't horrendous. Like, it's not distracting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was there in a game where the air conditioning was working, and it was also the game where they won the championship. So yeah, it was a good experience for me. I've only been there the one time, though.
Toronto, we actually all took the under. James shockingly took the under.
Yeah, but barely. They were over under was 49.5. He took 49, and yep, nailed it. 49 nailed wins.
Yep. Dallas, we all took the over, and they just squeaked by. Dallas and Clippers helped me out. They helped me get to 500.
Yeah.
I finished with 15, and I needed the Dallas and Clippers to get that last win, and they both took care of business. I'm really shocked because I thought I had Dallas down for 56 wins. I'm really surprised that they weren't better this year. And it's like, yeah, but the Rajon Rondo trade, I'm like, I would have taken them for more had I known they were going to trade for Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, so. I'm still confused. Like, is it just an anti-Rondo thing?
It is, man. People think he sucks. Like, they think he sucks.
That's crazy to me. Like, all right, granted, he's not been very good offensively for them, but he's still a good defense. Like, he's been good. He's transformed their defense into something passable.
The hordes are at the gates, and I am standing at the barricade with a flag that says "Playoff Rondo," and I'm waving it, saying, "Do not hold."
Somebody make this Photoshop.
Hold. The Clippers. You and I took the over. James took the under, and at 55.5, and you and I hit it. So,
ooh, barely.
And James took just the under at 55. Clippers should have been better. Clippers, actually, like, I'm actually in a place where I'm like, you know what? They had a bad month. That's all it really was. Like, they had a bad month.
Yeah, they had a bad
month. They're about to have a worse one.
They had a bad month. You know, Blake going down around the All-Star break with that elbow surgery, the staph infection, that hurt them. It also, though, like, you look at that team, and I think I just underestimated how big of a hole they have on the wing defensively. And it's something where, I don't know, maybe they'll figure it out, or maybe they'll be so good offensively that it won't matter. But, God, like, yeah, if they had somebody and then played Matt Barnes, like, 20 to 25 minutes, I'd feel great. Playing him 30 to 35, it's just too much for him.
We both thought 15.5 was ludicrous for the Philadelphia 76ers. And Brett Brown deserves a lot of credit for what he did with
them. He's an excellent coach.
And I think you and I are going to be very high on them next year, depending on who they draft. If they get Embiid and they pair him with Noel, and they get a wing or a point guard, if they get D'Angelo Russell, you and I are going to be like hopping on board that Sixers train.
Oh God, yeah! And I can tell you this: if it looks like Embiid is healthy, I'll probably add 15 wins to that total. Like, I think he's going to be a monster. And with that coaching and that defense, like, obviously the offense has to pick up. They're horrendous offensively, but the foundation is there, and that's the nice thing about this, like, whole tank job, is they've done the work. It hasn't just been incompetence. Like, they had a plan, they're executing it. It still may not work, but you can at least see that there is a real plan and there's real teaching going on.
Portland really didn't really surprise me, but Portland impressed me, because I thought that they were going to regress, and I thought that it was going to be very hard for them to make a jump defensively, and they did that. They're a much better team this year. If they had performed like this last season, I would have had a lot more faith in them.
Yeah,
I took them for the under. You guys took the over, and you hit it. They cleared it by 2.5 wins. Great season for them. Really great job by Terry Stotts.
He's so good. He's such a good coach. And
with all the injuries, for them to have made it, Lamar, and really also huge credit to LaMarcus Aldridge for not having the surgery on his wrist.
Yeah.
Going into a free agency year, for him to say, no, I'm going to stick it out and play through the pain. I mean, standing ovation, LMA.
Some onions.
Seriously. Which is where he got hit the other night. New Orleans, I took the over. You guys took the under. This is, like, I think the only one where I was right and you guys were wrong.
Yeah.
And I thought the roster was good, even in the Western Conference. And, we'll talk about them because I know you've made your feelings pretty clear on this podcast in the past.
I don't dislike them. There's this idea I dislike them. I just don't think it. I just would rather watch Russ.
Yeah.
I just would.
Yeah. I'm excited either way, but
no, they've played incredible. And it's not like. It's not like, I mean, I do think that they made the playoffs because the Thunder were injured. I do, yeah. But they still had to take advantage of it.
You got to have that sometimes.
Yeah, you got to have that. And it's not like they were a picture of health either.
Right.
You know, Drew Holiday missed a lot of time. And the fact that they were able to overcome those injuries and still make it, it's impressive.
The Norris Cole move, sneaky good.
It's weird because he's not.
I know.
And yet it works.
Well, it's kind of like, and like this is a good sign for the Clippers. It's like the trickle down effect, where it's like, well, Miami thought that it could do better at point guard, and it did, and the Pelicans thought that it could do better at point guard, a backup point guard, and it did, and then the Clippers thought that they could do better at backup point guard with the guy that the Pelicans thought that they could do better than, and they didn't.
Well.
Numbers actually say that Rivers is now worse than Farmar per 100 possessions. I know Dan Wuggie's sitting there screaming, you know, the numbers lie, but...
Isn't the net rating, though, worse?
No, the last time I'll have to check after the last couple of games, okay. But I checked it last week, and Davis and Rivers had finally dipped below Farmar.
Okay.
Which, that's impressive.
If that's the case, that's... Yikes.
And even then, I will remain steadfast and say, I don't care how Jordan Farmar played over those 2 months, I still think Jordan Farmar is a better NBA player than Austin Rivers.
I don't.
He was bad this year for that team, but I'm surprised he went to Israel. I think somebody should have picked him up.
I think there's a reason he hasn't played much in the last couple of years.
Well, he was hurt, and then yeah, you're probably right. Anyway, how about Indiana? We all took the under, and they clear it by 5.5 wins.
Frank Vogel, I thought they'd be too injured, and they were too injured, and yet Frank Vogel just, I mean, we were talking about it early in the season, how they just kept screwing things up when they were a road dog, right?
Yep.
And just like kept overcoming and making things close, and like he just coached his ass off this year.
And you could say it's only 38 wins. But man, getting that team without Paul George and after Lance Stephenson left, pulling that team with the injuries that they had throughout the year because they were never healthy, getting them to anywhere within sniffing range of 500, really impressive job.
Yeah, I mean, all right. Here, their top minutes guy this year was Solomon Hill.
Yep.
He had the most minutes on that team, and CJ Miles took the most shots. Rodney Stuckey took the second most shots, and that team won 38 games. And that's not a knock on Miles and Stuckey necessarily. It's just they shouldn't be leading your team in shots.
I totally agree. Hey, credit to you for believing in Dwight Howard having a bounce back year for the Houston Rockets and then him missing the entire year. So, well done, Zach. Good job.
I fell backwards into that one.
I'm punishing myself because we talked about it in preseason. I said I was really having a hard time with it because I kept saying, I was like, man, what if they're better in reality than they look on paper after losing Parsons for a reason? I kept saying that. I was like, this could be a case where they look much better. And then I went with the paper on my over-under, and I'm just killing myself. I'm like, man, I should have taken, you know, at only 49.5. I should with Harden and their shooters and all their talent. And as much as I love their power forwards who stepped up big time this year, I really should have hit that over. I'm shocked that I went with them for so low at 47.
Yeah, I mean, I had them at 54. They ended up with 56. I just figured, like, regardless, like, I just felt they were a 50-win team.
Yeah.
And that's all they had to be.
We all took Memphis over because those Memphis lines are stupid. Everything that Vegas – if Vegas puts out anything on Memphis, pretty much go against them.
Yeah.
Their series odds are – we'll get to that in a little bit. The series odds are crazy versus the Blazers. Even as good – even though I'm definitely in Pepto mode for the Blazers. I'm just like, this makes me a little nervous. Utah, you guys both took the over.
You got to credit James here on this one because I barely took the over and technically I'm right because of it. He almost nailed their win total completely.
Yeah, Quinn Snyder, this is going to be a team they have their coach. And I said in December, after the first 2 months of the season, I said, Quinn Snyder's the guy, and he's got him right on track. And Utah Jazz fans were like, well, what about this and this, and they don't do this, and the rotations? And I'm like, your guys are improving. They're getting better every single game. You see what the biggest thing is that when I watched the Utah Jazz this year, I've said from the very early on, I was like, I see what they're trying to do. It's just execution. When you see that teams have a plan, that goes a long way. When you see that they don't and they have talent, they're the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
So Brad Stevens kind of kicked us in the nuts.
I expected them to blow it up.
13.5 They did, and they still won.
Yeah.
13.5 They hit over. 13.5 wins over 26.5.
That's not terrible.
I mean, like, I'm already on the, okay, we got to calm down a little bit with this Brad Stevens talk, because, like, he's the best coach in the league and, like, all this other stuff.
He's not the best coach in the league. He's awesome. He's not Pop. That's crazy. With them, it just, I think, especially, like, early on in the season, you could see it because they were in so many games and it was just late game execution wasn't there. Like, they probably should be over 500. Because they kicked away a lot of early games. It's also funny to me that this is making Celtics fans enjoy Evan Turner. Because that's something that should not happen. Like, congratulations on the success. It's great that they made the playoffs and they feel they have a chance. I don't know what they feel. But nobody enjoys Evan Turner.
Kevin O'Connor for Celtics blog does.
Yeah, some people were like, well, he's bigger. I was like, okay, fine, sign him to a 5-year deal. Show me how, like, if you think he's that good, then hope that he signs for a long term deal.
Playoff Evan Turner.
Yeah, congratulations on playoff Evan Turner.
Let's see. Okay, the Warriors over under was 50.5.
That was so easy.
And I only took him for 51, and James only took him for 51, and you, my friend, took him for 55.
It was still way under.
They beat it by 16.5 wins.
It's funny, I was talking about
the next time. So go ahead.
I was talking about this earlier today, and there's this weird quiet. We don't have to get into this too much, but when Mark Jackson was replaced by Steve Kerr, there was this weird religious sentiment of, from certain media members, of like, I think this is a, like, how do we even know this is a good idea? And like, it was like this weird, I don't know, it was like this weird religious backing, right? Like, it was like, oh, you can't knock a guy for being religious or something like that. And I feel like we haven't heard from them on this subject.
It's been awful. What?
In a couple of months. And it's not like a haha, told you so. It's just like a,
I'll say, it's one of like, them did not vote for Kerr for Coach of the Year, so.
Oh, there you go.
Holding the line.
Like, part of it's like, you probably shouldn't make basketball decisions based on religion.
My favorite one was that there were several that had this thought: they better win. That's all I'm saying. Well, they won 67 games, so
mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. All right, time for us to bow down to James Herbert.
No, I refuse.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
No, Jason Kidd's a good coach.
I took him for 18 wins, Harper.
I wasn't much better at 20.
18 wins. Little short on that.
Well,
there.
To be fair, their over-under was 24. They weren't expected to be good.
Right.
But
James,
I think,
took him for 32. They wound up with 41. I said Jason Kidd. I thought Jason Kidd was a bad coach to start the year with the Nets, and he improved. I still had major question marks. I did love him going to Milwaukee. I love him as a developmental coach. I'm kind of with Charles Barkley on this, and one of a few things, in that I do think that he's going to do great things for Michael Carter Williams. I'm not willing to give up on MCW yet. And for him to coach this roster to this defense with their youth and their lack of a signature guy, really impressive job by Jason Kidd.
Yeah, a bunch of people wearing Antetokounmpo jerseys are screaming at you saying they don't have a signature guy. But it's something with him where he had a bad first impression with the Nets. That first month just was not good. And then Brook Lopez went down, and he was a really good coach the rest of the year. And it's something where that first impression, people just, like, just locked onto that. And even still in, like, radio interviews that I'll do, radio hits that I do, people are like, you know, how is Jason Kidd coaching? I'm like, he's a good coach. He was a good coach last year. He just had a horrible first month. But he's actually a good coach. Like, he gets it in terms of, like, lineup versatility and having interchangeable parts and guys that can switch everything. Like, it's a lot of those principles. That's what he preached last year. And once he could actually do it when Lopez went down, you know, they succeeded. They were one of the best second-half teams in the league last year. That wasn't just by accident. Like, sure, they had talent, but he coached them to that.
40.5 over-under for the Atlanta Hawks.
It's just, I mean, they had won 38 games the previous year, right?
Without Al Horford.
Without Al Horford. If you didn't think Al Horford was worth 3 wins, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, that one, you know, and they're, and again, their prices, they're another one. You look at the prices for the playoffs, and it's soft.
Yeah, I think I saw that they had improved from, like, 16-1 to win it all to, like, 12-1, so that's something. But they're also, it's interesting that they're tied with the Bulls in terms of odds, according to Bovada. Mm-hmm. Just because, I don't know, I'm writing a preview for Hawks-Nets, and, it's just funny to me that we're all of a sudden, like, oh, this Hawks team may not be as good as we thought. It's like, they're really good.
They're really good. I've been asked this question on every single radio hit I've done the last 2 days. Is people asking me, like, the Hawks aren't legit, right? Like, we know that they're not legit. And I'm like, we definitely know that they're legit.
Right.
They're very clearly legit. Again, we'll get into this when we do our playoff pod, but they're only plus 750. Wow, that's gone down. They're only minus 1100, and all of the money is hammering the Nets at the Greek. The Greek sports book contacted me this morning and said that the smart money is coming in on Brooklyn to win the series at plus 750.
What?
Yep. For one versus, for comparison, by the way, for those of you that aren't familiar with, like, gambling stuff, all right, so the Hawks are minus 1100 as number one seed. The Warriors are minus 5,000.
Wow.
They are 5 times the favorite that Atlanta is in the first round.
And they're facing a much better team.
You want to breeze through awards real quick in, like, the 13 minutes we got?
Yeah, let's do that.
So we've all got Stephen. These are coming out today on CBSSports.com. We all, I'm sorry, 4 of us took Stephen Curry. Onan took James Harden.
Okay. I respect the James Harden pick. I really do. Talked about it a bunch with people this week, and I do think there's a ton of merit to it. I still go Curry, but I don't think it's a bad pick.
We're unanimous on Wiggins. We talked about that before. I think it's insane that everyone's like, you know, Nikola Mirotic, and I'm just like, no. It's Nico had a good year. He really did. I don't understand how everybody thinks that he was really better than Alfred Payton, but maybe I just watched more Magic games than everyone else did because the Bulls are good. Nikola Mirotic contributed to a playoff team. If Nikola Mirotic was on the Magic, I do not think that that would have been as successful for him.
Right.
So, Peyton had a much larger load. But anyway, Wiggins was phenomenal. This kid's going to be amazing. His ISO, by the way, I looked at his ISO ability to draw fouls, and he is at already terrific rate. You as a Wolves fan should be excited. You got the guy, man.
He's going to be incredible. I mean, just incredible. Like, his instincts, his work ethic, like, all this stuff. It's, and that's the funny thing. It's like, and I was talking about this, so I'll just make this brief, but I was talking about this with some people, and it's like, you may not, like, I get not liking the process that Flip is going about in terms of rebuilding this team or whatever and the stuff he uses on the court, but for a team like this, you got to get the guy, and then you got to get the second guy. Well, they've got the guy. Wiggins will be the guy. And now if they can get the second guy in this draft, you know, they're still going about it in a bad way, but that's 2 big steps.
I want to say that I am very impressed with you caping for Tim Duncan. I am not being sarcastic. I think it's awesome that you've caped very hard for him for various awards.
It's driving me insane that nobody else is mentioning him for Defensive Player of the Year.
I honestly believe that he's probably if we had the others, I would probably do second.
Yeah.
I guess it's tough. For me, Draymond's versatility, being able to switch onto anybody
it's huge.
On the best defensive team in the league is huge.
No, I don't have a problem with people picking Draymond. To me, I have the problem that, like, I haven't seen a ton of ballots, but the ones that I've seen, he's not top three. I'm like, what is going on?
Is the fact that he only played 28 minutes relevant to you at all?
No, because he anchored that team, and he played 74 games? 76 games, something like that?
Yeah, that was my only – that's like the only thing that I can point to and go, well, but even then I don't believe it.
So. Yeah, but then when Andrew Bogut's getting all defensive first team votes over him, he played a lot fewer minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's just – I don't know.
Isaiah Thomas is Ken Berger, sixth man of the year. The rest of you took Lou Williams, and I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your souls. Tristan Thompson came off the bench for the Cleveland Cavaliers and was the most consistent player on both ends of the floor outside of LeBron James for that team this season. He gave them great energy. His plus-minus numbers are terrific. Some of their best lineups feature with him. He closes out games to Timofey Mozgov. I don't understand why we take scorers for the six-man role. It doesn't have to be the best. There are years where I think that's absolutely the case. But with my options of Lou Williams, who has a great true shooting percentage because he draws a lot of stupid-ass fouls.
Hey, you still draw them.
And pedestrian shooting numbers. I do not understand why he is the pick. But I am so outnumbered on this that I concede that it's probably right.
James had a great point when I talked to him about this, about the end-of-clock shooting percentage. And granted, like, he's taking those shots, but he may be forced to take those shots. And he's incredible any other time shooting the ball except for that end-of-the-clock stuff. And it's hard to know which ones of those are rushed and forced and which ones of those are just him dribbling in to make sure he takes that shot. That's what swayed me.
I accept it. I don't think that taking bad shots at the end of the shot clock should be rewarded, but I will accept
it. I don't think it should be knocked either because we don't know that it's his fault that he's doing it.
I watched him launch like a 30-foot three with 15 on the clock the other night in a key situation. Okay, anyway. MIP surprises me because Jimmy Butler is a unanimous pick for except for me, and I just keep going like Hassan Whiteside wasn't in the league. Like he wasn't like he was unable to get onto a roster spot. Yeah, and is now like a key part of Miami Heat's future.
I kind of look at I don't know how to judge him though. Because he's never even really been a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the thing. Like I just didn't know how to judge his season and what like is he comeback player of the year? Like I don't you know? Like, I know that's not a real award, but I just didn't know how to judge him, and I just thought Butler has shown, like, he had huge deficiencies making shots, and he turned that around in a way that made him an all-star, and I think it's harder to make that leap.
He was good for select months. He was good in March, actually. He turned it around a little bit, but he had a really rough stretch in the middle of the season where he wasn't shooting great. And then also, the Bulls' defense slipped this year. I'm not sure the Butler's defense was as good as it has been in years past. And maybe that shouldn't be...
I think that's on Noah.
Maybe that shouldn't be on him, but it's also like, well, it's most improved. So if he definitely didn't get better on defense, which I don't think you can argue he got better, you can say he was the same.
He got much better on offense, though.
Yeah, I just, and we've talked about this before. I'm okay with with the leap from really good to star being better than not good to good. Yeah. I just look from completely out of the league, who the hell is this guy? He'll only be on a 10-day to what it, like, people comparing him to ridiculous things, which are not true, but still, like, being at that level of conversation, that was really impressive to me.
Sure.
We've all got Kerr. I'm happy with that. I like Budenholzer a lot, but Steve Kerr coached a team that had the best defensive efficiency with the highest pace, and that's damn near impossible.
Yep.
And as much as I was dead set against this at the beginning of the year, David Griffin's moves in season swayed me. The fact that he acquired Mozgov, JR, and Shump and gave up so little was really impressive. He fixed all the problems that David Black created for them and got past the Anderson Barajal injury as well as, like, it's not really LeBron. It's about the way that he built a team slowly from the beginning of the year to the end of the year around LeBron.
Yeah.
We've all got the same. I'm really happy we've all got the same for first team All NBA. It's Curry, Harden, James, Davis, and Duncan.
I mean, it seems pretty straightforward to me.
And second team, we're all the same except you guys have LaMarcus Aldridge and I have Paul Millsap, who I just think had a better year than LaMarcus. LaMarcus had a really great season. He carried the Blazers a lot. I just personally did not believe that he was. I think the Blazers are better as a whole rather than being carried by one individual player. And I think that if we're looking at both ends of the floor, Millsap's been so great at both ends.
For me, he was so good in the clutch this year.
Yeah.
And Lillard was so not. and he kind of carried them through those moments.
I'm shocked that I'm the only one that had Dwayne Wade for all NBA third.
I had him and I deleted him.
Damian, I thought, was good this year, but Lillard, actually, I don't think he was. I still think I'm waiting for him to be playoff Dame, and that's why it terrifies me as a Grizzlies fan. But his regular season wasn't spectacular. Had to put Clay on there for everything he did, but I think Wade, this is going to go down as a really underrated Wade season.
Yeah, he's been incredible. I wrote about it, I don't know, a month ago or so, and he was ridiculous all year.
Your DPOY was your starting center, but I was really kind of surprised because nobody else put their DPOY on their all-NBA ballot, except you and I. I think if you're DPOY, you deserve to be all-team NBA at some point.
You should,
if you're so good on defense, you should probably generate some talk on the all-NBA teams. If you're anything on offense, and Draymond's actually pretty good on offense.
Yeah, I almost had him over Blake.
Blake missed a lot of games, and so I took Powell. For Powell to have taken the beating that he did under Tibbs' machine of death, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I like that you and I both had Al Horford. That's pretty awesome.
I really wanted to go with Cousins, and I just thought Horford had a bigger impact.
Look, I'm a huge mark for DMC, and I think that he's phenomenal, and I want him to have a great season. I hyped him up as the best center in the league coming into the year. After they fired Malone and when things got tough, he went back in the same damn habits. He started pouting and not trying on defense and going through the motions. He put up numbers, and that's great. You got to give me the effort defensively. If he can find that, and maybe he's just got to be a part of a winning team in order for him to be engaged, and that's fine. But he's got to do that in order for me to reward him, because Al Horford plays hard no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah.
We've got basically the same guys for all rookie. I mean,
rookie sucks. Nobody cares.
Yeah, it's like Wiggins, Payton, Noel, Mirotic, Smart, and then
Clarkson, Yusuf.
I mean, when Clarkson is your – I'm a Missouri guy, and when Clarkson is number six, you're in trouble. let's see. I think you and I have the same – yep, we've got the same except for Duncan. You know what? And I actually have gone really back and forth. I think if I had to vote again, I would probably do Duncan for first-team all-defense. Bogut
was incredible. He just the numbers didn't play really, enough for me.
The numbers killed me is the thing. It's like the numbers for Bogut are so good that I couldn't get past it. An all-defense second team – I took Teague. I probably should take a Wall. Thinking about it now, I should take a Wall.
It was hard for me to put Marc Gasol over Bogut, but I felt like he did more.
I'm gonna get murdered by Bulls fans for not having Jimmy Butler on NBA or all defense.
I like the Danny Green pick though.
He's
so good.
Good.
Yeah.
Then somebody needs to pay him.
Before you jump into your radio interview, want to do a funny little look back at who we predicted would win awards? Because I've got that up.
Oh, no. Okay.
MVP, I had LeBron. You had Chris Paul. They might finish top five. That's not terrible. Rookie of the Year, we both had Jabari Parker. James had Nerlens Noel. Defensive Player of the Year, you and I both had Dwight Howard. Yay. James had Marc Gasol. You had Isaiah Thomas for six man. He might actually win that, so that's a good call. I had Reggie Jackson. He will not win it. James had Taj Gibson. Most Improved, you had Tyreek. I had Anthony Davis. James had Reggie Jackson. Coach of the Year, you had Clifford. I had David Blatt. James had Quinn Snyder. And then you had Donnie Nelson. I had David Griffin. And James had David Griffin for Executive of the Year.
Yeah.
What a call.
Missed on some of those. Not great, Bob.
Just further proof of my theory that preseason awards are stupid.
They're so stupid, and yet they generate so much traffic.
Yeah.
All right, I've got a radio interview to do. We're going to come back and do playoffs and see what time we get out of here, if this is going to be a 7-hour podcast.
What a time. Thanks, man.
Thanks.